Cross the line. Eichel trying to float it to Stone. Extra pass. Barbashev scores!
Live from the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com.
Turnaround shot by Schwinn. Save. Rebound. Score!
Is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, your home for access with the team, exclusive player interviews, and breaking news from around the National Hockey League. Here are your hosts, Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Ryan Wallace, Darren Millard, Chris Chapman, live inside the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studios. Findlay Chevrolet on the 215, home of Duff.
To be honest, I didn't even know we had a show today. A couple of days ago, we were under the assumption that we didn't even have a show today because your pregame show would just expand by half an hour. But if Ryan, if you don't want to take it, Wallace and I, Chapman and I would love to step in and help you. Right, Chappy?
It's never
Absolutely.
Ever been a thing that
Come
we
on.
Do.
Come on.
How
Absolutely.
Did you guys not know we had a show today? Like, legitimately.
Nobody told us.
No, I never would have thought, and then you said, "Oh yeah, no show." So I just Chapman. Went along with it. I was like, "Oh, okay, cool."
But if Wallace can't do it, Chapman and I are here to step in and make sure that we're all set up before the pregame show comes in. So we're really a little bit of a pregame show.
The pregame show to the pregame show,
Involving the Vegas Golden Knights and the Edmonton Oilers, and boy, did we get some added juice to this one this morning. Mm-hmm. How surprised were you guys when it was announced that Connor McDavid would play in this encounter in which the Golden Knights are going for their first road win again?
Yeah, pretty surprised, obviously. I wasn't expecting this type of turnaround on McDavid, just because, again, it's early season. You probably want to be a little bit more cautious, but he says he's feeling good. He was moving well earlier today, just based on some of the video that you see out of the morning skate and practice and all that. So if McDavid looks at you and says he's ready to go, you put him in the lineup. It's a pretty easy decision there.
Do you think it has anything to do with Vegas?
I think that it probably has something to do with Vegas. I think that McDavid is a fierce competitor. I think that he understands that this is a rivalry, and this is a team that the Oilers are chasing down, and I think a team that we all expect is going to be one of the big rivals for the Oilers in terms of trying to win the division. So I don't think McDavid wanted to miss the first meeting against the Golden Knights this season. I don't.
It's overshadowed Ben Hutton's return.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, definitely did.
Ben Hutton's going to go in against Edmonton. Hasn't played this year.
Two years ago,
he didn't play at all in February. Had a lengthy run out of the lineup.
Yeah.
And then went into Edmonton, and they needed him, and they beat the Oilers in overtime that night, and that was part of that extensive run in which they held off the Oilers to win the division.
Mm-hmm. I think for Ben Hutton, I mean, obviously we know how much of a pro he is, and you've referenced certainly some moments in the past where he has come in and having not played for a while, been able to step in and provide exactly what you need for the Golden Knights. So I would expect nothing but the same from Ben. I do wonder if, you know, that situation's different because he had played in that season before. He had been in game action before, and this will be his first touch of the regular season so far this year.
Some of the lineup news going into tonight's game against the Edmonton Oilers for the Vegas Golden Knights, and you've got the 8-0 home winning streak that continues, and you've got the road record that has 1 point out of the first four games, and this just smells like a game in which it's perfect for Vegas to get on the board on the road because of the intensity of this rivalry against Edmonton.
I think the Golden Knights are going to win tonight. I do. And, you know, you mentioned the rivalry aspect of it. I think that plays into it. I do think that, you know, the 0-3-1 record on the road is more a circumstantial thing than it is anything else. I don't believe that at the end of the day, it's going to continue to move in this direction. I think the Golden Knights are going to find their touch on the road because I just think they're too good of a team not to. And by extension, the Edmonton Oilers, they have struggled on home ice. They're 2-4-1 in their seven games on home ice. So it's not as if the Oilers are world beaters at home. And I think that this is an opportunity for the Golden Knights to come in highly motivated, as we expect them to be, and get that first win of the year on the road.
Yeah, for the fifth week of the season, this is a pretty important game in the sense of you've got two very motivated teams, Vegas to win on the road and Edmonton with Connor McDavid back trying to jumpstart their season and get it into gear where we're more familiar with their performance.
Yeah, for sure. And it's not dissimilar to where we were last week when the Golden Knights went to Los Angeles to take on the Kings, right? Like, it was going to be a highly motivated Kings team that had just lost the night prior up in San Jose against the Sharks. And as a team like LA, who expects to do some damage in the division, you cannot lose that game. And they were highly motivated and they played to that level. And I think for the Golden Knights, you know, again, we're coming into a situation on the road where the motivation for the other team is going to be buoyed. The expectation for the other team is going to be buoyed. And it's up to the Golden Knights to kind of handle that pressure and handle that moment and find a way to win.
I'm hoping for a little testiness, some sandpaper tonight, trying to mark your territory, if you will.
Do you think that we get that? I mean, one of the biggest lightning rods for that is Evander Kane. Obviously, he's not going to be in the game, but you know, you do have Corey Perry on the other side. And I think that if you're looking for sandpaper,
I'm not thinking along that line. I'm just more thinking of the importance of the game for both sides. And Vegas wants to rid themselves of this conversation about home road.
Sure.
And Edmonton desperately wants to get on a roll so people stop talking about last year rolling into this year and the back-to-back bad starts. And so you might get a little more jam than you normally would for game 13.
Well, I wouldn't mind it if that's the case, because when these two teams are going at that level, it's fun to watch.
And it was right around this time last year that Edmonton made their coaching change. And they took off under Knobloch. And so maybe it was the coaching staff. Maybe it was just the time of the year and they were able to flip the switch, but they will have McDavid back in the lineup. Draisaitl was really good in his absence. They won 2 of 3 without Connor McDavid. So it was productive. Funny how some teams are able to keep it going without the star players. Toronto was like that. Matt Sundin, when he would go out, they would somehow keep the thing afloat. And right now with Austin Matthews out, they've had a pretty good record with him out of the lineup since he joined the Maple Leafs, and that continued last night. And Edmonton was able to win 4 points out of 6 with Connor McDavid out. He was supposed to be gone 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah.
We're looking at like 9 days.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a fast recovery for sure for McDavid. And certainly, again, when you start to think about 2 to 3 weeks, and that was kind of the prognosis just about 7-8 days ago, you're expecting this to kind of bleed into the third week of November. And here we are. McDavid only really missed 3 games in total, 4 if you want to look at the game that he got hurt in, because he only played one shift. And that's best case scenario for the Oilers. Again, if McDavid's good to go, 100% healthy, and everything's good, then I think they really dodged a bullet just in terms of the length of time and the amount of games he could have missed if this did go that 2 to 3 week span.
An entire country will be watching every stride that he takes in Canada tonight.
Yeah, probably.
And 3/4 of this country, because we're such big fans of watching Connor McDavid play. Now, we'll see whether Vegas adjusts to him being in the lineup, but I don't think that there was any real big preparations for trying to tackle that hockey club without Connor McDavid. You prepare for the best competition, and if they're not there, they're not there. But I'll be curious to see how effective he is. I was encouraged when he was injured that he was able to finish that first shift and go off. He skated late last week, very gingerly, just testing it out by himself in a tracksuit. Took an optional morning skate the other day, and today he's in the lineup. So I don't think that he's really been through a massive, we're going to really put this thing to the fire and see how it reacts. There'll be a testing of it, really trying to see where that ankle is.
So kind of in saying that, do you believe that this is McDavid wanting to get back in against a division rival in Vegas? And, you know, maybe it would have been more prudent to take a little, like an extra day or really test it out in practice before going in a game?
I think this is Connor McDavid saying, I'm playing. And yeah, nobody is going to stop me from playing. The rhetoric and tone that I've heard coming out of Edmonton and the quotes attributed to Connor McDavid have really screamed that. One of them being, nobody knows my body more than me. And when I'm ready to play, I'll go. I'm paraphrasing that.
Sure.
But this is this to read what's been on the table in front of us. I think this has way more to do with Connor McDavid saying he's going to play than the medical staff telling him he's ready to play. Now,
sure,
if they don't feel he's ready, they would stop him. If it's 50-50, he's said that he's going to play. And it might be 50-50.
Well, if that's the case and you're the Golden Knights going into this game, you've got to make sure that you are focused in on McDavid and understanding of, you know, obviously what he's able to do, but make sure that you are physical with him and check him well, because if there's a chance that he is 50-50 or if he is hampered or slowed down at all, you could have an advantage there just in terms of being able to exploit some of that speed that you're used to seeing if it's not there at top flight.
Normally a coach will say, we're worried about our side. Mm-hmm. We'll focus on our team and we'll see what happens from there, but we don't want to get distracted. That's a lot easier said than done when you're facing a team with Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid. But if you do look at it from the perspective of the Vegas Golden Knights, what encourages you about the potential for a victory tonight?
Yeah, I think to me, I like the way that Vegas has started to just defend in their own zone. I feel like they have been a lot harder in the middle of the ice. Obviously, the LA game kind of got away from them, but I think by and large, they have been able to make it a bit of a muddy track, especially in their own zone. I think they've done a really good job of kind of winning individual battles, board battles, all of that kind of stuff. So I think from that perspective, I like what I'm seeing out of the Golden Knights in trying to protect the house, protect the middle of the ice there. And I think that bodes well for them going into this game against the Oilers.
You know, when you line up these two teams and look at it from a statistical perspective, we're used to raving about the Oilers' special teams.
Sure.
And the power play that gets the most recognition going into this game is Vegas. And it's not even close.
No. No, the Edmonton Oilers have been uncharacteristically bad on the power play. And, you know, when you look at this Oilers team, it seems impossible that they've only got 5 power play goals on the year, but that's where they're at right now. The Golden Knights have double the amount of power play goals than the Edmonton Oilers, and they're 3rd in the National Hockey League. The Oilers are 27th. It feels inevitable that number is going to come up for the Oilers, but you don't want this to be the game where they get their mojo, and it's going to be incredibly important for the Golden Knights to keep the Oilers kind of in the doldrums when it comes to their power play efficiency.
I'm not going to bring this up to create a conversation. That's not my angle here.
Okay.
But can you imagine going at 32% what Vegas would have racked up from a power play angle if they were on the man advantage more? because they're bottom three in power play opportunities.
Sure. I mean,
they don't draw a lot of power plays.
They don't, and it gives you an idea of how efficient they've been with the opportunities that they've been given. And I think that that's, again, a credit to their ability to execute with the man advantage this season. But you're right. I mean, if they had just one, if they could draw more calls, if they could draw more penalties, and they are as efficient on those extra calls as they've been so far this year with the 31 opportunities they've had, this team could be doing some legitimate damage in terms of what that goal total could be, and they have been that good on the power play.
Do you have a theory why Vegas doesn't draw a lot of penalties?
I mean, I think by and large, they don't take a lot either, right? So when you kind of look at it that way, I think that...
the marbles will balance out.
The marbles will balance out to some degree, and you kind of look at the game against Utah as an example. Like, there were certainly more opportunities for the Golden Knights to have gone to the man advantage in that one, but just the one power play opportunity was called. I think that it's a product sometimes of score effects. The Golden Knights have done a great job, especially on home ice, of kind of breaking games wide open. And when that happens, I don't think you're going to get as many calls down the stretch or in pivotal moments. So I think it's a multitude of reasons, really.
I've got some stats on the power play that I'm going to share with you here.
Okay.
We're going to dive into it on the TV side in the pregame show at 5 o'clock. But first, let's open up the phone line, 702-876-1340. Chapman, step in here. We got some tickets to give away.
Yes, we do. The game against the Washington Capitals, Sunday, November 17th at 5 p.m. So
not the next home game, it's the game after.
Right. Thanks to Porta Subs, your neighborhood sandwich shop.
Nice. Which caller do we want?
Let's go with 8.
Whoa. Ryan's job.
Well, you were having a conversation with me, so I thought, you know, you were asking me.
Are you new?
Yes. First day on the job.
Yeah, I mean, Chapman forgot that we had a show like we always do.
No, I didn't forget.
Every single time.
I totally forgot.
I was just rolling along with Mallard.
Okay, anyway, it's fine. I was going to go with 8 anyway. If you're talking about Alex Ovechkin of the Washington Capitals, it's going to be caller number 8.
Ice baby.
Everything that's happening, he still manages to find a way to fit that in.
Yeah, of course.
702-876-1340, caller number 8. We'll send you to see the Washington Capitals take on the Vegas Golden Knights on November 17th. So here's some stuff on the power play. And I'm going to try and explain this as plainly as I can because it does get a little convoluted. Vegas is working on a percentage of 32.3 right now. Mm-hmm. That's like 10%, 12% more than last year. That's impressive, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But what does that really mean? Like 12% more. We came up with a formula to really make it simpler to understand. Based on an entire season of 32.3% on the pace they're on right now, Vegas would score 68 power play goals this year. And that's the most in franchise history. But to really give you a perspective, it would be 29 more goals than 3 years ago.
Wow.
29 more goals. That puts you in the playoffs.
Like, sure.
Like that, 100%. That adds a 30-goal score 3 years ago.
Sure.
Based on the percentage that season to a 32% performance this year.
Yeah.
The Stanley Cup year, they would have added 26 goals. That was the Stanley Cup year. They would have added 26 goals to their total.
Yeah.
And last year, they would have added 17 goals. That's in plain English. That's how many goals they would have added on top of their performances through the year.
Yeah, I mean, that's
a 20-goal score, a 25-goal score, and a 30-goal score. Based on that's how incredible the performance has been so far with this 32.2%.
Yeah, and I mean, I think you look at that objectively, right? Like that gives you 3 to 4, 4 to 5 wins more per season than what you're looking at. So, you know, you
can say it's already given you 2.
Yeah, sure. 100%. And so when you look at it from that perspective, like you realize how important the power play can be and how important it was going to be to this season's success when you are looking at goals out the door in the offseason. I think the power play has done an immense job of kind of picking up some of that slack, especially early on.
They've done more than pick up the slack. They've eliminated the rope.
It's fair. Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. Like, Pavel Dorofeev's been phenomenal on the power play. Jack
How many
Eichel,
goals, power play goals does he have? Three, right?
Three, yeah.
Three, and Victor Olsson has?
Two. Two of his three were on the power play.
So you got five goals from the right side.
Yeah.
From that right side. In 12 games.
Yeah. Tomas Hertl's got three goals on the power play.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're getting Mark Stone, two power play goals. Like, you're getting that production from everywhere. And I think that it's not only has it given you goals on the power play, but I think it's bled through to the production that you're seeing from this team at 5-on-5 also. Because the more you score on the power play, the more confidence you have in your offensive game. And I think the better the Golden Knights have been for it.
Best regular season, because they won the Stanley Cup that year, and they finished first in the division, 2023. And they're on pace to score 26 more goals on the power play.
Yeah.
It's staggering to me. Not just because Darren Elliott came up with it.
Is that where that came from?
The guy's from Cornell.
Yeah.
You think I'm doing math?
So, like, how does that conversation go? Elliot's just like, hey, I've got these really awesome stats, and I'm going to give them to you, and then you're going to just present them as your own idea?
Elliot walks in.
Yeah.
And he pushes his glasses up, because he wears glasses when he's not in the air.
Yeah.
And he says, I got something for you. And he reaches into his dress shirt pocket.
Sure.
Which has a pocket protector in it in case his pen leaks. And he's got this little sheet of paper. And it's got all the numbers right there. And you know what the pocket protector says on it?
What does it say?
Cornell, class of 1983.
Nice. That's awesome.
And he reaches in, he grabs it, using the hand with his class ring on it.
Yeah. You jealous in those moments?
You know what? Even if I would have got a free education to Cornell, I wouldn't have went.
Really?
That's how smart I was, or dumb I am. I wouldn't have gone.
Wow.
Just I wasn't an academic. I'm a real life guy.
Sure. I get it.
Elliot's an academic.
I would argue.
That's why Elliot and I are such good buddies.
Yeah, I mean, I would argue
that. We work so well in the desk together.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
Like, we're totally different.
Sure. I think Elliot's got some legitimate street smarts too.
No,
but
the guy can't even back his car in.
What?
To an empty parking lot.
I don't believe that for a second.
No.
Really?
Can't do it. Can't do it.
He can't back his car into a spot.
He's hit more light posts than Connor McDavid has hit posts this season.
Wow. You're just throwing him right under the bus there.
Yeah. He's sitting right beside me.
Yeah, I get it.
I can do that. I'd let him talk right now, but he's getting ready for the TV pregame show, and I don't like to disturb the academic while he's getting into his scenery. His computer's got this graph on it, this chart was color-coded. It's just ridiculous.
But someone's got to bring the stats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, have a good pregame show. I'm really happy that we got to have an actual show. And Chapman saying he was just going along with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. No chance. Like, not once did he ever call me out saying, no, I think we've got a show. I think we've got a show on Wednesday. There was none of that.
Yeah, I believe that 100%.
I didn't think we had a show. I admit that.
Yeah. No, I knew we did. And that's why I reached out to you guys earlier today. But
why did you listen? Did you hear me talking about how we didn't have a show?
No, I didn't.
Oh, Kelly McCrimmon was great the other day. You missed it. I wish you would be here for those.
Yeah. Well, I only missed one. And I'm bummed out about it. But I'll be there on Monday next week.
Nice.
So there's that.
We got a show on Monday?
Yes, we do.
Good. We got a show tomorrow?
Yep.
And Friday?
Yes, sir.
Perfect.